Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this Friday. Don't feel like a Friday. And it's looking just funky outside.
Man, it's looking rough out there.
It's just got, you know,
I don't know how
fog,
things are out at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport right now, but, man, we can't see Buckhead from here right now.
It's funny you should say that because on the front page
of
the AJC.
Of the AJC.
They are literally letting you know to be prepared for Friday crowds at the airport. Not just the airport, but also on the roads.
And that's cool this weekend. The weather's supposed to be... You know, we're going to have a cooler day today, but the temperature is supposed to hit the 60s
right.
The next couple of days.
But?
You know, but today you got to go through this to get to it.
But you're also going to deal with rain.
You're going to have some rain, too.
That's coming in here tonight.
So you're going to have people starting to come back to Atlanta. You know, like you've had it. You had it for a few days. You can drive around this freeway, get wherever you want to go on time or whatever schedule. Say, hey, I'll be there in 15 minutes. No, you're going to get there in 15 minutes, not an hour in 15 minutes, as you normally would. But that's going to change when all your neighbors and coworkers and people come get start drifting back into town here the next couple of days.
Well, speaking of hour, or last hour, boy, that was a reach. You know that last hour we just had? It was a wonderful 7 o'clock hour we had.
Brought to
hopefully
you by...
Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res. Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service.
Okay.
All that was brought to you by Zero Res. So I want to thank you and apologize to David Ashburn. While we move into this 8 o'clock hour. Also, I didn't do my good morning, Georgia.
Why didn't you?
Because we were going on about the other stuff. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning.
And a good morning and to all you first responders and teachers. Happy holidays. Everybody in Cumming.
In Cumming.
Up there by Lake Lanier.
Up 400.
Yeah. Also, I alluded to this before. You know, we got to make this pivot. Because we were going to talk NFL... And I told you a story that I had heard, and then you gave me this wonderful bit of education, which I still think is relevant because it's football related, and I think it's worthy of you repeating to me because I didn't know about that. We're going to be talking about the Birmingham Bowl here in this next segment with Chad Bishop. But I said
which is played at the new the Reliance Stadium.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the stadium that's over there. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I haven't been. I've been past it. I'm looking forward to seeing it. There's a Topgolf near it.
And
it's right coming through the middle of town where I used to see you.
Really?
It's right through the middle of town.
He's talking about a billboard they put up for me.
Yeah, that was a view right there on I-20 coming through Birmingham. And that's where the stadium is. It's right where I used to see you.
Wetumpka Casino?
Yeah, man.
It looked like I won a bunch of money. So, yeah, they put that up forever.
Yeah, man.
We're going to get to this other stuff here. And like I said, I had some great notes for something. But I said something to you during the break. Just popped into my head, and it was just it was TikTok or something. But there was a piece of footage I saw online with Joe Namath.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about a decade ago because he had his full head of hair and his waving. It was brown. But Joe was talking about – somebody had asked him specifically, Joe, do you remember this time – you turned your back on Coach Bear Bryant.
Ooh.
And, man, he just went into this story about what they were running at that particular time in practice, and he didn't run it properly. And he heard Bear Bryant go, Joe, you're supposed to do this, that, and the other thing. And as Bear Bryant was barking at him of what he was supposed to do, Joe Namath was walking away, going back to the huddle, and giving him the yeah, okay, I got it. And Namath said – he took about two more steps after that, and he felt his head being yanked around. And Coach Barrett had had that big paw on his face mask and pulled him around and then got, like, inches from him and said to the effect of, boy, when I'm talking to you, you look me in the eye and you say, yes, sir, No, sir. Now, he said that a lot louder than Joe Namath.
Well, I'm sure I can't do it justice, right? Yeah.
But he was like, you, when I'm talking to you, and he was just red and eyes were, you know, popping out everywhere. And he said that at that point, he understood what everybody said about Bear Bryant having a way of getting your attention in a way that, you know, sometimes you least expect it. And for his remainder as a member of that team, he said he was a senior. And he'd hear Bear go, Joe? And it didn't matter if he was 2 football fields away. He said he'd run just to make sure he didn't have to deal with him. I tell this to you, and then you went off on this story about Bear Bryant that, you know, it was a little education in what you were talking about. I'm just, that's why I'm bringing it up and going through this whole diatribe here.
Okay.
Do you need to look up something there?
No, go ahead.
No, it was just the fact that you were telling me then about the way he coached. And you said something about Heisman Trophy because we were talking earlier about this is the day that Archie Griffin got his. And then you started saying some things about that wasn't going to happen under Bear Bryant. There was going to be no Heisman Trophy winners.
No, not at all. I think the first Heisman Trophy they had was Ingram in 09.
But none with Bear Bryant.
No.
And that was?
But nobody's going to get those kind of stats. Nobody was going to accumulate those kind of stats. No running back was going to get the ball that many times. No quarterback was going to throw that many passing attempts. And think about the quarterbacks that came through down the timeline. I think he was he there for Star?
Stabler?
Stabler, Namath. You know, he's talking about some guys who could light it up now.
They all got gold jackets they didn't pay for.
But I'm just saying, but they didn't put up those numbers at Alabama.
And you also were telling me about the game, some in Birmingham played there, but some in Tuscaloosa, and why they were staggered like that.
Well, it's not an uncommon thing in this part of the country, because when people finished college, they wanted to get to the biggest city. So Jackson had the stadium in Mississippi where Ole Miss and Mississippi State would play their biggest games there. It's a stadium now that Jackson State plays in. It was a bigger stadium than they had on campus at Ole Miss or in Starkville. Legion Field was the same thing. It was a bigger capacity stadium, because once you finish school in Tuscaloosa and Auburn, you got the heck out of there. You want to get to the biggest city, so you went to Birmingham. So they took the bigger games to the alums. They turned it around. You want to get the alums back on campus and hope they would stroke a check while they were down there. And so it's become a deal where, you know, the games went back on campus and they stopped playing games in Jackson. I don't think Arkansas plays games in Little Rock anymore. They had also had a stadium there that they would use. And, of course, you know, Alabama and Auburn no longer use Legion Field. They couldn't go back there. Now they lose so much money. They've taken the upper deck off the stadium.
So what did they do that for?
Doesn't seat the same capacity. It had condemned.
Oh, okay.
Used.
Well, that would do it.
You know what I mean? But that, I think at its max, its capacity, did they ever get over 80,000 at Legion Field? I mean, they may have gotten it up to that. I know the stadium I'm going to today seats about 42. You know, and I don't think Alabama, Birmingham ever fills it up since they built it.
So, it was just the way you were telling it, and you went from one to another, and then we brought in when you said, you know, wasn't no Heisman Trophies coming to the Tuscaloosa, and this is the way Bear did it. And it reminded me of what was said about Dean Smith, too.
Same thing. They're the same person when it came to that, you know. But they knew they ruled that campus, and Dean's the same way. As we get set for a new football coach to come to North Carolina,
right,
and still trying to do that, right? Mm, yeah. So I mean, that's the thing. Bear Bryant had to get to his own place. He was up in Kentucky. He was never going to accomplish that at Kentucky with Adolph Rupp up there. So he had to get to a place which was his own, you know. And so, ironically, now the Alabama basketball program is ranked among the, matter of fact, the SEC is like dominating.
I was just gonna say, we're talking about,
right now, if you look at the basketball, Alabama, Tennessee, I mean, Georgia's off to 11-1 start. You know, they're winning in everything. We always put the emphasis on football, obviously. But yeah, man, that's the thing with Coach Bryant.
It was a whole education about, and then how he has been immortalized in that area in different ways. You drive through here, you see Bryant there and all that stuff. And it just makes you think, what else does a Nick Saban-type coach have to do in that area to come up just being equal with him? Saban's got all them trophies, and he will never be considered. It's kind of like... Well,
I don't think he'll never be considered. I mean, I think people who can differentiate between the eras is like us always want to make a Mount Rushmore of all time. And it always comes down to generational. And for a certain generation, you're right. Nobody will ever top Coach Bryant. And the reminders of him are always around.
That's what I'm saying.
Not just that, but the people wear to the games, the hounds too.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
It's not just
hats,
it's neckties, it's everything. Whenever you see that, that's what you think of. And so his image and his presence is still around that football there, not just in Alabama, a University of Alabama, but football for that state is still a symbol.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I wish you could have been here for that conversation because it was very passionate on us, Sam. But let's talk about Sunday night. These Redskins going up, and Dan Quinn going to be just blitzing Michael Penix Jr.
We assume.
And you're – no. I feel pretty confident about.
We assume. Because, if you're doing that, you're taking your eye off what the Falcons do really well, and that is run the ball. You're going to take an eye what's the real bread and butter for this Falcons team. It's not throwing the ball. The bread and butter for this football team, and you know what this line can do. You're hoping the line can pass block and protect against the blitz. We know this line can run block.
All right.
And
so I ask you this. Do you feel confident that – would you have said that before the Giants game? See, because the Giants game, this team got well on, right? And my question is, knowing that they're going to be blitzing, knowing about how you're going to need your tight end – to block a little bit more this week than maybe normal. This is going to be a test. This is that second game. This is where, as you like to say, they got footage on them.
Okay.
And they're going to use that this week.
Okay.
In a way that we're going to find out a lot about this team. We talk about even the running game, all of that stuff you put into a blender that's positive. Dan Quinn is going to push them buttons. And it just kind of makes you go, oh, okay, so I'm going to focus on this one. You know, offensive line blocking, picking up blitzes. It's something that you know is coming, and what's it going to look like as far as what the Falcons are going to do? That's what we talked about. That, to me, is going to be the interesting watch in this game Sunday night.
Well, the deal with the Giants game was to make Penix comfortable, to get him comfortable and have success, and that mission was accomplished. But you lean on the run game. You lean the run game, and that's what you're hoping, that the run game will be enough, especially to get you on the board first. Because like you said,
absolutely. You know,
Washington's quarterback can't hurt you if you're sitting on the sideline sipping water.
Hey,
that's
Sam,
what you want to do.
Sam, did you know this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate? You go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and what do you start doing?
Start packing.
That's what you do. It is Sam and Greg. We have got more football talk up next, getting ready for Birmingham Bowl. Georgia Tech, Vanderbilt, 3:30 kickoff, and Chad Bishop is going to join us next to talk about it. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It's Sam and Greg. During these holiday mornings, and thank you for letting us be a part of yours, it's Friday, December the 27th. As we get ready to talk about some of these bowl games, you can say what you say about the five being played today, but I think tomorrow is the one that people are kind of going to look at and say, I've got to spend a few minutes at the Snoop Bowl. Arizona Bowl is tomorrow.
Sponsored by Snoop. And Dre's gin and juice.
Yeah. And after you attend the Snoop Bowl, the one thing you wouldn't mind having are a bunch of Pop-Tarts. And you got the Pop-Tart Bowl that's also going to be going on tomorrow, too. They got this trophy. You got to see this trophy for this Pop-Tart Bowl. Anyway, Sam and Greg, again, we are getting ready to talk about the Birmingham Bowl. There are five games today, but Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt kick off at 3:30. And want to welcome Chad Bishop to the show. A friend of the show, haven't talked to him in a little bit, and you got to wonder, last time we saw this team, they went to 8 overtimes.
Yeah, boy.
What do you take from that as you look at today's game? And the participants that were in that game, they're all going to be in this one. Morning, Chad.
Well, first of all, good morning, fellas, and thanks for giving me a little PTSD there to start off my day. But, I was watching Toledo Pitt last night, going to 6 overtimes in a similar situation. That Georgia Tech game seems like last year almost. Seems like it was so long ago. I think Georgia Tech from their end, they've settled down, they've recovered, they've sort of flush that game, which is a phrase athletes like to use. And this is kind of going to be a new scenario. I think you sort of, you know, touched on it. A lot of guys who played in that game are either in the transfer portal or are injured or whatever the case may be. So there's going to be kind of a new look to the Georgia Tech lineup. You know, I don't think it's going to change their game plan or the way they go about their business, but there'll be some new faces out there on the field today when they play Vanderbilt. So I think that's exciting from their perspective to see if some of these younger kids or some of these kids who don't play a lot can step up and get the job done.
I guess it's just the reality of college football in this day and time. You make a bowl game, somebody's got to hit the portal. They're not going to hang around for it. But, I mean, which of these moves you think the team will miss the most as they go out today? And that's the other thing. Yeah, you have the next man up. If you had several, you had some days to put new people in those places. But what do you think we may be lacking today as they take on Vanderbilt?
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see. I mean, we start on the offensive side of the ball. Corey Robinson, the starting left tackle, left pretty soon after the season. So they're going to plug in Ethan McKinney. Now, Ethan McKinney is a kid who played a ton as a freshman and was even listed as a freshman All-American by some publications, but didn't play a lot this year, battling through some injuries. Played a little bit at the end of the season, but he's going to get the start today, and he's the left tackle, the future of the offensive line for Georgia Tech, so I think that's number one. And then you look at wide receiver, losing Eric Singleton, who has since committed to Auburn. Just, you know, a speedy kid who can run 22, 23 miles an hour, can stretch the field, is a home run threat with the deep ball. That's a big loss, too, no matter how anyone tries to spin it. So I think those are two guys offensively. And then on the defensive side, Romello Height is the team's best pass rusher, and he transferred out. So there's a hole there at defensive end. And then Kyle Eford, the team captain, the middle linebacker, is out with a shoulder injury or an arm injury, so he won't play either. So those are a couple spots on defense that are huge. Tay Seymour, safety's in the portal. Rodney Shelley, a nickelback, is hurt. So there's going to be some new guys on that defensive side trying to step up. I think the good news for Tech is they rotate a ton of guys on defense. Coordinator Tyler Santucci loves to play a ton of guys. So they don't have a lot of guys who haven't played at all this year, but maybe just as much as they'll have to play today.
Chad Bishop joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How are you absorbing college football right now? Well, meaning this season and moving forward, your thoughts on what to do next because of the changing nature of it, because you got guys missing bowl games going in the transfer portal, because you know that moving forward, if this blue chip athlete is not happy with waiting behind this other guy to get to his position, he's going to jump in the portal. Everything that's thrown into the blender that's changing about college sports, how are you absorbing it right now?
You know, for me as a 41-year-old, it's a little tough because I'm pretty old school, and you know, I think we all grew up cheering for college sports teams because the kids were there 3 or 4 years and you kind of got to know them and see them grow and see them have their moment. And now it's a free for all. It's the wild, wild west. I don't think anybody's blaming the kids because they can go get some money and some more power to them. I mean, look like a kid. I just mentioned Eric Singleton, you know, was at Georgia Tech and was probably going to be a star, but I don't think there's any question. Auburn probably offered him a little bit more money. So, you know, go get your money, go get paid, young man. But that being said, I don't have an answer because, you know, these bowl games mean a lot to the programs and mean a lot to the fans. They don't seem to mean a whole lot to the players on the teams. I think the coaches' heads are elsewhere because they're balancing all these kids in the portal that are leaving, all the kids in the portal that are coming in. They're trying to recruit high school kids. And it's not just the bowls, right? I mean, we've seen in the football playoffs, guys have one foot out the door as soon as their team is eliminated. They're exiting stage left and stage right, too. You know, I think we talked the last time I talked to you guys about conference championship games, if those are really even necessary at this point, having teams play an extra game and having guys opting out or not playing in those. So I'm not really sure where we go from here. I don't really know the answer. It hasn't kept me from watching games. Like I mentioned, I was watching them last night, and I'll be at one today, and I'll continue to be a college football fan the rest of my life. But I think maybe the passion that maybe I had once as a kid or a young adult has waned a little bit over the years.
Yeah, spending time on the wait for it. .com hotline on this rainy game day morning for Georgia Tech. They're taking on Vanderbilt later today over in Birmingham. And Chad Bishop with the AJC keeps an eye on the Jackets. And he is social. You can always find him at Mr. Chad Bishop at Mr. Chad Bishop. Also, one of the backstories to this game today is the Vanderbilt quarterback and what he's going to be allowed to do. I don't know how much people have talked about that. Now, he runs that offense quite well. I've seen him in person this year. But, you know, the idea that he's going to get to come back and get some money in his pocket next fall.
Yeah, that's just a crazy story. Diego Pavia has been a superstar for Vanderbilt this year, began his career in junior college and was down in New Mexico State before transferring to Vanderbilt and really got that program back on the right track. I mean, they haven't played in a bowl game since 2018, and here comes this kid who's just electric on the field and honestly quite electric off the field. I mean, the kid has had some good sound bites throughout this year, led the Commodores to a big win over Alabama. And for those who don't know, he won a court case, which I believe, correct me guys if I'm wrong, but his junior college season will not affect his eligibility. So he can play again in 2025, and that's going to change some things too. I mean, Georgia Tech recruited a young man this recruiting cycle who's coming from a junior college. So, I don't know how this affects junior college kids moving forward. I think I read a report the other day that any junior college athlete after the year 2020 can get some of that eligibility back. It's ever changing. It seems like every single day there's a new legislation or a new rule in place to maybe appease some folks and to get sort of kids to remain on the playing field. And Diego Pavia is one of them, and he challenged the courts and won his case. And so we'll be seeing him next year. But again, going back to that portal, guys, who knows if he's at Vanderbilt next year? He could be somewhere else, but he'll be in college football for sure.
And that's what I was going to ask him, because I was going to see if Chad could give us any kind of projection. How's he feeling, or what should he tell Tech fans about what they can expect as far as a team next season and how recruiting
looks? Yeah, I mean, I think what Brent Key always says about Georgia Tech is he's trying to build the roster from the bottom up. So don't necessarily focus on replacing maybe a star quarterback or a star wide receiver. It's replacing those guys who are 3 and 4 on the depth chart and increasing that talent level. I think he's continued to do that. He's already got about a dozen guys coming from the transfer portal. He had one of the best high school recruiting classes that Tech has ever had in the top 20 last time I checked nationally. And he told me in Dublin, Ireland, when we were out there, that his roster is about 70 to 80% of where he wants it to be going into the 24 season. So I would think with what they have coming back, Haynes King at quarterback and Jamal Haynes at running back, and still, 3 or 4 quality offensive linemen, a lot of defensive guys coming back with coordinator Tyler Santucci. I don't know how the schedule is going to shake out. Nobody really knows that till we go in. But I think it should be a team that continues to trend upward and continues to get to a bowl game. They got to get to that next step of winning 8, 9, 10 games and competing for an ACC title. But it looks like the roster's in place to do that.
Chad, forgive us. We didn't have a chance to talk to you after that Georgia game. We usually talk to you before the games. But what did that game, Tech side, show you? And what did you take from that?
That they're still very, very close. But they're still not quite there yet. I think Georgia Tech has shown in this Brent Key era that they can beat a number 10 Florida State, who was ranked at the time, of course. They can beat an undefeated Miami team who was in the top 5. They can knock off an undefeated Duke. They beat a ranked Miami team in 23. They've played Georgia close 2 years in a row, but it's doing it consistently, and it's doing it week in and week out. It's not going up to Syracuse and losing by 3, right? It's not getting hammered at home to Notre Dame. I know they were without their quarterback, but still, it's sort of this consistency aspect that they talk about a lot. It's, they put it all on the line up there in Athens and probably played one of their best games in years and still came up just a little bit short. Again, looking at the positive side of things, I think Brent Key takes that, like he said, he takes that pain and he's going to dwell on it all season, knowing that this team is very close, but still not there yet and has to find a deeper talent pool to fill this roster to get over that hump and beat teams like Georgia and Miami and the big wigs on their schedule week in and week out and not just one-offs. Taking them to 8 overtimes is not a moral victory. I mean, Brent Key is just yearning to get that win and to beat Georgia, and I think he knows that game showed him that they're right there, but they still have some work to do.
All right, about to let you go. Give me something on today's game. You got 2 quarterbacks that should run well even in the rain today. What wins it for Tech?
I think it's the passing game. I think despite, like you said, being a little groggy out here, being a little wet, and these teams liking to run the ball, I think Georgia Tech's probably got the better throwing quarterback in Haynes King, and Malik Rutherford, who was in the portal and then out of the portal, he's back on the team. He could have a big game, and Vanderbilt's pass defense is not great. So I think if Georgia Tech is able to throw the ball down the field, hit some big plays, I think that's going to be the difference.
There you go.
All right.
Appreciate it, Chad, as always. And thank you for being a part of the show this season. Getting up
you
early.
You got it, guys. Yeah, Happy New Year.
You too.
Save me something. I'm on the way. I'll see you this afternoon.
I got you, my man.
All right now.
All right. We're going to turn things over to Chris Thomas coming up top of the hour. It's Sam and Greg. Friday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you in the Odyssey app. Thought I was having an aneurysm there real quick. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9 The Game. .com.
Don't do that.
On this. Well, he put his own song on there. He's got a request.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you, Eric, for everything that you have done this morning. What was I going to say here? Oh, you know what, Sam? This hour, you know what it's brought to you by?
Brought to you by?
It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today. And that was a tee up for you. You're supposed to say start packing.
Start packing.
Okay, well, it's too late. It's all right. I already mentioned it there. Start packing. Yesterday, when we left here at 9 o'clock, you know, it was, and all of us, we're kind of working outside of our comfort zone and doing things that we normally do. We're normally on weekends, and you know, so a lot of the people who are under the part-time umbrella, we're called to duty during the holidays, and that's great. We love getting on the big stage, right? You always want to play in a big room, and so it was just Garrett Chapman here yesterday. It was great to see Jarrett. Garrett, we got the A-team in here today.
Ooh.
Yeah, after me, you, and Eric get on out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw Day-Day around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Bo.
Mm.
They're going to be with Chris Thomas.
Okay.
So, I'm just saying.
That's what's coming
up. Got the A-team hanging out around
here. Get ready, get ready.
Yes, sir. Again, Sam and Greg, want to let you know, once again, we talked about the casting call and the job opportunities. While the in-front-of-camera jobs are kind of slow right now. In fact, they're non-existent, to be honest with you. They will perk up here in a couple weeks. But behind the camera, for those of you thinking about making a change in what you do in 2025, I walk you through how to find where they post the help wanted needs on a regular basis, and it starts with Georgia.org. You really want to find out what's going on, Sam. I've been saying this for years. Do an extra job. Just, you know, find okay. a week where you're not going to be working mm-hmm. and get booked as an extra. You sit in a restaurant and eat or walk across the street or whatever the needs are that particular week. But while you're on set, you do a little networking. You find out where that electrician is. You find out where that makeup artist is. You find out where the carpenters are. And you go, hey, this is what I do. How do I get, and blah, blah, blah. You guys take it from there. So okay. I've always talked to the people who, or tell that to the people who have jobs that would, like I said, lend itself to being on a crew. Get on set, first of all. Two things happen by doing that. A, you get to network with those already doing it. And you don't want to be obnoxious about it. You know, you'll find opportunities to speak with them and get a number, and maybe they'll correspond with you. And then the other thing is you got to learn set etiquette. There's things you do and there's things you don't do when you get on set. Just because you're on set and you see Jennifer Lopez over there, it's not a time for you to go walking over there trying to get a selfie. Which has happened
Yikes.
In the past. So anyway, things like that. But if you got any questions about that, greg.clarksonodyssey.com, and I will do my best. In the breakdown is on Get Cast with Greg on X right now, and 92.9thegame.com/casting call.
Boom.
There you go. You remember what
I was Did you hear the boom last night?
It's funny that you should say that, because the night before, I was told that there was a boom, and Jesse woke up.
Whoa.
And started, you know, being kind of crazy. And Tracy heard it. I didn't hear it. And then I heard fireworks last night, but I didn't hear a boom.
Heard fireworks?
Yeah, like, you know, people blowing off M80s or whatever. And, of course, the people who have dogs know that just drives them crazy.
Don't like that at all.
But there was a boom the other night that I didn't hear. I heard about it, but I didn't hear it. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Okay, well, what are you talking about?
Boom I was talking about was the latest major college coach to step aside because of all of the changes that are going on. And that's the basketball coach at Miami.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We really hadn't spoken about that much this morning, but I think it's a deal. You know, when you get a guy who gets a team to the Final Four, you know, and you figure, okay, Final Four, I finally accomplished this great thing with this team at this major brand university at Miami. It had been at George Mason, Laranaga had. And eight players from that team come in and said, we're in the transfer portal.
Uh-huh.
Eight players from the team that just went to the Final Four. Yeah. And you're figuring, okay, if these guys, I got a good, pretty good crew coming back next year. And that really tells you how much it is a year-to-year thing right now that coaches are dealing with. It's a year-to-year. You can't say, well, this is my team for the next 2 or 3 years. You hope you get a couple of years out of some of these players, but it is a year-to-year proposal, which basically is the way a four-year scholarship is set up. It's a series of 4 years agreement. It's not like people say a full ride or full 4 years, whatever. It's year-to-year. At the end of each year, at the end of each year, the coaching staff going to look at you.
Right.
And you got the option to look at the coaching staff. Or you don't even look at the coaching staff. After the year, you say, I'm out of here. That's how a lot of players are taking it. But here's a basketball coach who just said, and it's exhausting.
Listen, that wasn't a takeaway for me. It was him sitting up there talking about the conversations he's obviously had with parents and whatever. And they said, $1 million for a kid?
Well, that's an agent.
Again, but he's talking about you got to pay these kids $1 million. This kid's asking for that. And when that's being said, and we know that's the nature of the business right now, what he did in talking about why he's leaving is the inside conversation that has now been brought outside. And people are just saying, this is why I'm leaving. And maybe not as blatant as that, but I remember Saban sitting there talking about how Miss Terry walked up to him and said, what are we doing? He said, these folks in our house, and we're talking about how we used to, we're going to nurture your son, and we're going to make sure he's safe, and all that nice stuff that has brought the blue chips to school X, whatever, all those things in the past. And she came and said, all these folks want to know is how much we're going to pay him. And he's saying that out loud.
Yeah.
And these are the conversations that are now part of while we're watching these established, long-time coaches at these programs, as you said, they've taken decades to build. Exiting stage left. What you gonna do, right?
Yeah.
What you gonna do? But it is interesting to see what will happen next, because it seems like with every, I won't say every week, but with every month, like if we look back and talk about what we talked about a month ago, it's different than what we're going to be talking about
right
now, and then a month from now, when college football's kind of gone away, but yet movement continues, we'll be talking about some kind of college football story or something under, maybe basketball, obviously it'll be going on, but I guarantee you the weekend that we're talking about the Daytona 500 or Atlanta Motor Speedway's race here, there's going to be some kind of movement that will garner us talking about it on the show. And it's just,
Well, it's never out of the news cycle.
It really isn't.
It never is. So that happened as we get set to go and watch Georgia Tech play the game against the player that's getting a year back from junior college, the quarterback for Vanderbilt, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, he's going to be the king of Nashville, man.
Really?
I don't think he's going into transfer portal anywhere. He already knows he's got something nice waiting on him. He just needs to get that year of eligibility. I think the Vanderbilt folks and some folks up there in Music City going to take good care of him for getting that goalpost paraded down to the Cumberland River.
There's a lot of people who knew this. I swear to you, I didn't know this until today when I put this together. Speaking of college basketball and established programs, I did not know that these two dudes celebrated a birthday. Celebrating birthday number 62. Are you ready for this?
62.
62. Bill Self and Mark Few.
Ooh.
Dude, I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't. Born on the same day. Kansas head coach, Gonzaga head coach. Happy birthday to both of them. Also, who would you like to be? If you had a chance to be biggest movie star on the planet or quarterback of a football team, one of the NFL teams, and both in your 20s, who would you like to be?
Ooh, you'd rather be the quarterback.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that would be Brock Purdy.
Okay.
25 years old today.
Talk about that dude.
Or Timothy Chalamet, who's got the number one movie in the country right now. He just turned 29.
Yeah.
Timothy ain't getting hit. I mean, it's nice to be an NFL quarterback. It just depends on what you want. No, I think I'd choose Purdy, too, to be honest with you. Cole Hamels, Carson Palmer. I think you have interviewed him, but I could be wrong. Bill Goldberg, wrestler.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All these folks celebrating a birthday today.
Georgia Bulldog, former Falcon.
Yeah, 58 years old. May she rest in peace. Speaking of wrestlers, it would have been China's birthday today.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Tippett,
mm-hmm.
Hall of Famer.
Yep.
And those of y'all ain't old enough to remember, there was literally a dude at your old station, but network, NBC, who, when the Gulf War started, was given the title the Scud Stud. Do you remember that? Arthur Kent was a correspondent for the Gulf War, and women went apoplectic when they saw him on TV. It's like, well, I'm not going to use him, but he did. He was so good-looking to the people who watched NBC, and the war was going on, and he was in these little cavernous places, and yep. Kind of like Bernard Shaw when the other one started, and he was held up in that place. But this dude was given the name the Scud Stud.
Arthur wow. Kent.
Yeah, man. Listen, what are you looking forward to this weekend? We got, you know, we don't have any bowls. I mean, we got some bowls going on today, but
bowl games,
the big ones as far as what's coming up this weekend, because we got NFL action both days. And for me, that's what I'm looking forward to. You hope Georgia Tech wins today.
Hope Georgia Tech wins. Of course, we got the Hawks coming up on the weekend, too.
Hawks are playing on Miami, and we got that game for you right here if you can't get in front of a TV. Pre-game at 2:30, tip at 3. But before that, we got Chargers in New England. That's going to be on WAOK. Pre-game at 12:30, kick at 1. But again, after that, Denver-Cincinnati. And then that's going to come after game one. And then Arizona at the Rams. Three NFL games and some NBA action all right here. If you can get in front of a TV, we got you covered on Sports Radio 92.9.
Especially if it's raining outside.
It's going to be raining.
It's an ugly, rainy day, man.
And you don't want to be out there taking your clothes back from Christmas and all of that. And Sunday's not going to be any better, so you might as well stay in if you can't, again, get in front of a TV. We got NFL and Hawks action. Hawks are taking on Toronto.
There you go.
We got that for you on V103.
Yeah.
5:30 pregame, tip at 6. But before that, Carolina and Tampa Bay. That's pregame 12:30, kick at 1. And, of course, we will have Falcons and Commanders. I still want to say, you know that other name.
Yeah.
But we'll just say Washington. And that pregame starts 2 hours before kickoff. This is a different one. 2 hours, 6 o'clock, kick at 8:20. Listen, we want to thank Eric for being our producer these last couple days as we come in here after
thank
Christmas.
Thank you, sir.
Just for the rest of you, thank you for allowing Sam and I to be a part of your Thursday and Friday mornings. We'll be back in our regular spot on Sunday morning and then take you through Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the new year of next week. Chris Thomas is up next. Have yourself a wonderful day, and thank you for letting us be a part of it. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you in the Odyssey app.